This is the BBC Light Program. Please accept our apologies.
Good, good. Fine, fine, fine.
We present the extraordinary talking type wireless Goon Show.
What a divine melody. Greenslade, take up the story, lad.
Certainement. The story so far. An old-fashioned gramophone record was played, after which a short, fat man remarked, "What a divine melody." Now, read on.
Thank you, Mr. Greenslade. Go and rehearse the 9 o'clock news and learn that wall by heart.
Ho, 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 lads. Ho, ho, ho. Listen while we tell you a tale. Music, lads. Ho, ho, ho. See you then, much. Bye.
When I die, take all the treasures of my kingdom, place them at my feet, then bury me in some high, forgotten mountain.
Those words were spoken by the Tatar Emperor Genghis Khan as he lay on his deathbed.
Point, point, point.
Yes.
To this day, the tomb of Genghis Khan, with its untold treasures, remains undiscovered. He lies buried in some Mongol hillside where no human eye has ever set foot.
It was 1927, which lasted exactly 1 year. Late one night, within the Oriental Exhibits Room, young Neddy Seagoon, young... Pardon me, listeners.
I'll see you in a yard at playtime, Wall. I'll clout that big fat nut of yours.
Fine, fine, fine.
Neddy Seagoon, a young archaeologist, was at work inside the Victoria and Albert Museum.
Yes, I always work late at the Victoria and Albert. You see, for years I've been searching for the lost tomb of Genghis Khan. I was unwrapping some ancient Mongolian inscribed tablets that I had reason to believe would give me the exact location of the tomb of Genghis Khan when, suddenly, at about midnight... Who's there? Anybody else? How do you spell it? I've never heard of either of you.
Good evening.
Bonsoir.
Make up your minds.
Pardon the intrusion, little nit. I'm afraid we got lost in the fog.
Yes, is this place St. Leonard's?
No, it belongs to the LCC.
What is this place?
Victoria and Albert.
Oh, really? And which one are you?
I'm neither.
I'm pleased to meet you. This is my partner, Count Fred Moriarty, the world's last ladder champion of 1927.
What do you both want at this time of night?
Shut your big pudding muncher. Silence! This pistol is almost ready to explode.
You crazy continental louse letter champion of 1927. What do you want?
Draw the curtain, Moriarty. Now then, is there anyone else in the building apart from you?
Yes, two others.
What are they doing?
Holding me up with a pistol.
A likely story. Silence!
What do you want?
Neddy, we want to examine a parcel of rare Mongolian clay tablets that arrived by air today.
You're wasting your time. I won't tell you where that parcel is.
Oh? I'll give you something to make you talk. Take that! A pound note!
I'm English. Money won't make me talk. I'll just point. There.
Mercy. Right. Turn around.
I'm not strong enough.
Very well. We'll walk around you.
Dear listener, even though I had my back turned to them, I could still see them in a 16-foot mirror which I rushed out and bought. I observed them open the rare parcel, take out the clay tablet, then placing it in separate pockets, make to leave.
Close your eyes, Neddy.
Right. Oh!
Dear listeners, the thud you heard was me striking Seagoon on the head with the heavy side of a mummified Egyptian piano.
Struck down. Struck down in my prime. Struck down.
Dear listeners, the groans you hear are those of Ned Seagoon falling unconscious to the ground. and hamming it for all his worth, I might say.
Lies, all lies, dear listener. I'm not hamming. It's just that I like to give Seagoon fans good value for money. Apart from that, it's good publicity. They've gone. I must phone the police. P-O-L-I-S. Oh, my head.
Hello?
Hello, police? I want to report a lump.
Fine.
What do you mean, fine? Constable, there's been a robbery.
A robbery? Anything stolen?
You see that parcel on the table?
Yeah, I see it.
Well, they rifled that.
We're on our way round.
Oh, I'm sorry we're late, but I was asleep in Bedfordshire. I always sleep in beds. Oh! I'm in condition to that. Sir Nichols, sharpen your notebook. Now, sir, tell me all.
Two men committed a robbery.
Two men, eh? Male or female?
I don't know. They were dressed.
What a cunning disguise. Continue.
I shall.
Thank you. Any money stolen?
Yes, a pound note.
Why did you steal it?
I didn't. They took it off me.
This pound note. Just a moment. May I lay on the couch? Thank you. Describe that pound note.
Well, it was valued at a pound.
Tell me more, wonderful money. Tell me more. This pound note, what color was it?
Green.
It's mine! Mine was green.
Inspector, it's not the pound that was important.
Nonsense. Any American will give you 6 shillings for one. The Bank of England will give you 7.
I'm concerned with a very rare missing Mongolian tablet. You see, that's what they stole.
Describe these felons.
You'll easily find them. They're carrying a Mongolian clay tablet in their pockets.
Splendid. With that description, they won't get far.
Neither will we.
Shut up, Eccles.
Shut up, Eccles.
Don't you worry, Seagan. We shall get them. Remember, we police are always on our toes, and everyone else is for that matter. But wait! Who is this approaching in a 5-piece cardboard bikini and wearing male forces? Yes, it's Max English, gentleman, Gildrung.
Tomb of Genghis Khan, Part 2, in which Neddy Seagoon awaits news of an arrest.
Yes, 5 days passed. 6, 7, 8, 9, a week. But no news. By now, the criminals had almost given up hope of being caught. Then, one night, unable to sleep, I walked through the fog-bound streets of Hyde Park.
Help!
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you standing in that tree.
Here. You looking for them two crooks, ain't you, mate?
Yes. Why, mate?
Oh, I know where they is, mate. Needle, noddle, noo. They're in Singapore, mate.
How do you know, mate?
They left their address for me to send on this parcel of laundry to them, mate.
Ah, I have an idea, mate. Come with me.
While Seagoon is executing his idea, mates, we go over to Mr. Goodpipe and Count Moriarty in Singapore, mate.
Shut that window, mate.
There, mate.
Thank you. As I was saying, Moriarty, this clay tablet gives the exact location of the Emperor's tomb. But as a precaution, I have had the entire inscription tattooed on the back of my false teeth. Just in case the tablet gets lost. By the way, the man who did the tattooing was Dr. Fred Fu Manchu, Chinese tattooing artist.
Thank you for telling the listeners the entire plot. Talking of Dr. Fred Manchu, the Oriental tattooist, reminds me, as I was coming to the theater tonight, this parcel of laundry just arrived from England.
Splendid, Moriarty. Well, I'm going to take a bath.
You English! You're so brave.
Yes. Mark, take this gun.
Yes.
And if the phone rings,
yes,
don't hesitate to answer it.
Sapristi brains! You think of everything.
Not everything. Sometimes I don't think of aardvarks.
You mustn't be so careless. After all, aardvarks never killed anybody.
I don't wish to know that. Neither to the audience. Now, open that parcel.
Set him on. Or if you're French, set him on.
Merci.
Aprilene Paris. We found a trolley.
Save the brown paper for dinner.
Set him on. Sapristi! What's this inside?
Hands up, Count Moriarty, world's last letter champion 1927.
Sapristi!
Count, this is my friend Eccles.
Hello?
Eccles, this is Count Moriarty.
Your humble servant.
Right. Now, hands up again. Where's that rare tablet?
Neddy, lower that finger.
In the 40-foot mirror I rushed out and bought, I could see behind me Gritpipe Finn standing up in the bath. Don't move, Gritpipe. Drop that towel.
Right. There.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, now you know why this show can never go on television. We will continue with this delicate scene if the ladies in the studio audience will kindly put their hands over their ears. Thank you.
All right, Eccles, keep these two covered with this flint pistol. I'm going to look for that tablet.
Fine, fine, fine.
I shan't be long.
Ding-dong. Doodong, doodong. Yodadong. Yodadong. Nadumbo.
So you're the famous echo.
Don't move or I'll blow my brains out.
I'm sorry. My, my, my. What a lovely voice you have.
Hey?
I say, what a lovely voice you have.
You think so?
Yes, I do. Quite beautiful.
Oh. I died. A crowded room. Murder somehow.
Do you know any more like this?
Do
Yeah, here's one. Oh, a crowded room.
Eccles, not quite right. You see, to get the right feeling, you must close your eyes.
I'm no fool. If I close my eyes, I won't be able to see you.
Will you miss me?
Oh, here. Well, listen, if I close my eyes, I won't be able to see to point a gun at you. Oh, but wait. You're keeping your eyes open?
Of course.
Oh, that's easy. Then you take the gun. But mind you keep it pointed at you.
Scout's honor.
Now then, listen to me sing with my eyes closed. I'll close them. There. Hey, it's dark in here. I'm singing in the dark. Melodies of love for my old dad. Play that crazy saxophone. Get that crazy rhythm. Lover, come back to me.
Eccles, look. I found the clay tablet and...
Well done, Gritpipe. You've got both of them.
Yes, well, a bird in the strand is worth two in Shepherd's Bush. Let's get going, Moriarty.
Right. But the Mongolian clay tablet?
Leave it behind. Then they'll think we've forgotten it.
But if we leave it behind, we will have forgotten it.
Gad, Moriarty, you think of everything.
Not everything. Sometimes I don't think of aardvarks.
You mustn't be so careless.
You're right. Aardvarks never killed anybody.
It's going to kill us if we use it anymore.
What happened to me?
This!
Thank you for telling me.
Let's go.
I knew that in order to reach the tomb, they'd make for the Singapore-China frontier. To bar the way, I placed Eccles and Comrade on guard.
Eccles? How do you like being on guard?
Fine, fine.
Yes, it is fine. I feel fine on guard.
Sure, so do I. I feel fine on guard.
Yes, it is nice to feel fine, isn't it, Eccles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Coons? How do you feel now?
Fine. I feel fine.
I feel fine too.
Fine, fine.
Yes, it is good that we both, what is us, feeling fine, isn't it?
Yeah, we both feel fine.
Yes, we are both feeling fine. Yeah.
What?
I feel sick. But never mind, all is well. Here comes my captain on his horse, Silver. Hey, ho, Silver.
How much can that be, Gladys?
Neither, neither, no.
Keep the chains. Away you go!
Astute listeners will no doubt be puzzled at a horse sounding like a taxi and a train. The truth is, the animal was also a brilliant impressionist. And here now is his impression of Ray Ellington.
The sky was blue and high above. The moon was new and so was love. You see, the heart of mine was singing, lover, where can you be? You came at last, love had its day. That day is past, you've gone away. This aching heart of mine is singing, lover, come back to me. I I remember every little thing you used to do. I'm so lonely. Every road I walk along, I've walked along with you. No wonder I am lonely. The sky is blue, the night is cold. The moon is new, but love is old. And while I'm waiting here, this heart of mine is singing, lover, come back to me. Remember every little thing you used to do. I'm so lonely. Every road I walk along, I've walked along with you. No wonder I am lonely. The sky is blue and blue and blue. The night is cold. The moon is new, but love is old. And while I'm waiting here, this heart of mine is saying, lover, come back. Lover, come back. Lover, come back to me. Lover, come back. Lover, come back. Lover, come back to me.
Hear that sound, dear listeners? It's the eternal wind that howls over the Lishan-backed mountains of Mongolia. It was over these we passed, searching for the tomb.
Oh! The pesky monkeys, it's so cold. Look, even the ice is frozen.
You should have brought some warm clothes.
I did, but they got cold up here.
I understand well. Where's that Mongolian porter?
Here I am, Laughter. Will you slow?
Little does he know that I am really Neddy Seagull, heavily disguised as a man who is heavily disguised.
Little does he know that that was a heavily disguised clerk.
Little do they know that I am only feigning unconsciousness. I daren't attack now. There are too many. I'll wait till they're both gone, and then I'll spring. Right, you swines. Had enough?
Yes.
Then untie me.
Come along then, Eddie. Why are you following us?
You're so attractive.
Oh. Silence, Knuckles. Now then, what's your little game?
Ping pong, what's yours?
No ad-libbing.
Needle, not a loo. Oh. You won't get away with this. The treasure in the tomb is mine. Mine, mine, mine.
Boing, boing,
boing. If only I could get my hands free, I could use the phone. Ah, I'll dial with my feet. My toe in the dark. Oh! I've got a long nail.
Hello? You want me?
Who are you?
I'm a chiropodist.
Heavens!
So?
I have a call exchange.
So, Neddy, caught you using the telephone. Come on, out with it.
What?
Threepence. Thank you. Now start walking in front with your hands and feet raised above your head.
So we trudged the barren landscape. It was a long day. It lasted 36 hours. We camped at nightfall. Next morning, the blow struck.
Neddy, bad news, lad.
What's up?
While I was asleep, the world's last leather champion of 1927 stole my false teeth. Which, dear listener, as you will remember, had been inscribed on the back with the map of the tomb by Dr. Fred Fu Manchu, the Oriental tattooist.
Then Moriarty's the only one who knows the way to the tomb. Come in.
Hello. Here. I've followed Moriarty to the tomb. I'll show you where it is. Come on now.
Listeners will no doubt think it ludicrous that Eccles should suddenly come through a door 1,000 miles from the nearest building. The truth is, several doors have been placed at intervals in the Mongolian mountain so as to obtain the sound of a door opening, thus making it more interesting for listeners, especially those without doors of their own. Thank you. Meantime, Neddy has arrived at the mouth of the tomb.
Yeah, here. You see this big rock blocking the cave? Well, the tomb's behind there.
How the devil could Mariotti have moved that by himself?
He didn't. He said he would need four men to open it. Yes, gentlemen, four men.
Yes, Neddy, four men. Hands up.
Ah, you two swines. So that's why you got Eccles and me here. To help open the tomb door.
Come, lads, start working.
Hey, who are you pushing?
You.
So that's why I'm moving.
Together.
Watch out for the old tennis friend.
Odd box never killed anybody.
It's open. Zapristinyakos, the tomb's empty.
Zapristinyakos.
It's been ransacked. Who could have taken the treasures? Who could have known about this place?
What this card on the floor?
Dr. Fred, Fu Manchu, Oriental tattooist.
Foiled by Fred.
Anybody for tennis?
Too much like hard work.
Hard work never kill anybody.
Darling, together again, shall we dance?
Love to.
That was The Goon Show, a BBC recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Seacombe, and Spike Milligan, with the Railington Quartet and Max Geldray. The orchestra was conducted by Wally Stott, script by Spike Milligan, announcer Wallace Beanslade, the program produced by Peter Eaton.